Module 1 for Solve Your Dinner Dilemma, Your Pantry, a step-by-step guide for setting up and using your life-saving pantry. Here's what you'll learn in this training video. First, we've got a step-by-step guide for setting up and using your life-saving pantry. Then we'll look at how to stock your pantry. Then there'll be 13 ways to help your pantry come to the rescue, and the 4 most common pantry mistakes and how to avoid them. So first, a step-by-step guide. So step 1 is to choose 2 pantry recipes. So you probably thought I was going to say something like, set aside some time to clean out your pantry, didn't you? Well, the good news is, for your pantry to really help you, it just needs to do 2 things. First, it needs to supply enough of the right ingredients to make a particular meal. And second, it just needs to help you remember that you have said ingredients in the house when you're feeling tired and hungry. And all it takes for this to happen is for you to just choose 2 recipes that you want to have as your backup. And that's step 1. And then it's on to step 2. So step 2 is to buy the ingredients for those recipes. So it doesn't matter how you look at it. Unless you actually have actual ingredients in the house, you won't be able to cook. So make sure you buy some ingredients that will actually go together to make something delicious and quick, i.e. your 2 recipes that you've chosen, and then move on to step 3. And step 3, I love this one, relax. So give yourself a pat on the back and remember that the next time you need a quick emergency meal, instead of resorting to pizza or Thai takeaway, just head home and have some fun whipping up one of your delicious pantry dinners. It's that simple. So now we'll move on to, and there's an optional bonus. So step 4 is set aside some time for a pantry spring cleaning session. So we'll go into more detail about that. It's up to you to choose the format of this, really. Sometimes if I'm feeling like my pantry's a complete mess, I'll take on the whole thing in one, like usually a Sunday afternoon. But mostly I just clean one shelf at a time. So here's how I do it. So first step is I remove everything from the shelf. Step 2 is to throw out anything that smells funny, is well past the best before date. And just a quick word on best before dates. A lot of things, and actually having worked in the food industry and being someone that chose, you know, how long products were before you put the best before date on, it was very arbitrary. So if something, particularly dry goods, you know, if they're a month or 2 over the best before date, I'm usually 100% happy to use them. All you do is just have a smell. They smell okay, because usually the first thing that's going to happen, and have a look at them as well. So first thing that's going to happen is that they'll go rancid. So you'll get a really funny kind of smell with them, and they won't smell right. So that's a good sign that they're off. Chuck them out. Or if you've got mold or any sort of infestation or anything like that happening, or if the texture doesn't feel right, then chuck them out. But apart from that, it's good to go. So just a little aside there. But the other thing I look for, if I've got something that I have no idea what I'd use it for, if I bought it for a recipe and I've never even cooked it, or if I've only used it once and I don't think I'm ever going to use it again, best to get rid of it. Like, just cut your losses and have a clean pantry rather than having it cluttering up. And the other thing I like to get rid of is anything that I've like bought that I thought I might like that I actually don't like, or you know, no one in the house likes. If no one's going to eat it, get rid of it. It's just wasting space. And then step 3, just wipe down the shelf. Pretty simple. And then step 4 is to put the keepers, so the things that you haven't thrown out, back in some sort of order. So, and this is really, it's personal thing. It's up to you. If you want to alphabetize your spices, by all means, go ahead and do that. A friend of mine, her mom used to come, when she'd come and visit, she used to put all the spices in alphabetical order, which I thought was insane. But she liked it. It's really up to you. So what I try and do is I just keep like things together. So kind of whatever makes sense for you. But I, you know, have a little shelf. My pantry's divided into different sections. So I've got a little section for bottles of things, so that's sauces and vinegars and that sort of stuff. And then I've got, you know, a section for oils, olive oil, you know, that sort of thing. I've got my spice box for my spices, you know, keep all the canned things together, all the baking stuff, you know, my flour, my sugar, my stevia, my coconut flour these days, that all stays together. And Yeah, that just makes it easier for you to find things when you're looking for them. And it's also a great tool because when I'm going to write my shopping list, or if I'm ducking out to the store, I can just have a quick look in the pantry and I can see, oh, you know, we've got heaps of tinned tomatoes, but we've hardly got any chickpeas, say, or I can see, you know, we're really low on nuts, you know, because there's not hardly any nuts there, or, you know, whatever. It's just a good way to be able to have a quick, you know, kind of mental shopping list all at your fingertips. But you'll see what I mean when you watch the virtual tour of my pantry, fridge, freezer video. So don't get too caught up about that. So moving on, we'll look at. I thought, you know, we've got our step-by-step guide, and really that is all you need to do. You just need to have some food in the house. So I don't want you to put any pressure on yourself to do this. But then I also thought, if you are interested and you wanted to, you know, kind of get a bit more of an organized, well-stocked pantry, this is kind of an optional bonus points thing to do, but it seriously isn't a deal breaker. So if you're not interested, totally get it, but I just thought I'd run through what I consider to be kind of some pantry essentials. So I think it's good to have, you know, at least one type of oil you need, like, for cooking with. So I usually have a good quality extra virgin olive oil for salads. Mostly for salad dressings, but also for drizzling on things. And then I'll have macadamia oil, which I use for frying, because macadamia oil has a really high smoke point. It's really stable, so I use that for stir frying, or even these days if I'm just any sort of cooking, I use that. I used to stock a cheaper olive oil, but I've found that I've just ditched that out, and I use my macadamia oil in the places where I used to use a cheaper oil. But if you like, you know, a cheaper olive oil can be good for frying as well. It is fairly stable and it's good with monounsaturated fats. And then these days the other oil I keep in a house is rice bran oil, and I pretty much just use that for when I want to make mayo or those sorts of things, because it's a neutral flavored oil. I find the macadamia oil has kind of a slightly nuttiness, and of course olive oil has all that olivey goodness. So rice bran oil I use for, it's, you know, got a fairly good fatty acid profile, but, you know, it's really up to you what you can get your hands on, what makes sense from a cost perspective, because oils can be super expensive, as you probably know. So then moving on to vinegar, one of my favorite things. I'm a big vinegar fan. At the very least, I have a bottle of sherry vinegar in the cupboard and a bottle of balsamic. You know, they have very, you know, very different kind of flavor profiles. So at a minimum, I'd have that. And I always have lemons in the house, and I kind of class lemons as, you know, they're pretty shelf stable. They're kind of a pantry item for me. And you know, you use lemon juice pretty much anywhere you'd use vinegar. So that's my basic. I also like to use rice vinegar or rice wine vinegar, because it's kind of quite gives you like lovely freshness without being too strong. But, you know, it's up to you to explore the whole world of vinegars. That's just some of the stuff that I like to stock my pantry with, but I recommend having, you know, at least one, possibly two or three. Then moving on to what I call canned things, so that includes things like tomatoes. So I prefer to use whole tomatoes, and if you're worried about PBAs, whatever it is, the chemical that can be in canned food, if you look for suppliers that don't, when you open the can, if the can has a plastic liner, then that can be problematic from a PBA perspective. But if it's just a can with just, you know, the old-fashioned can, it just looks like a can on the inside, not wide and plasticky, then you'll be safe from them. And I actually use a brand, and sometimes when you open the can, it has the plastic and sometimes it doesn't. And I actually worked out there's a different date code on the bottom for the plastic ones to the non-plastic ones, which I assume they make them in different factories, whatever. So now when I go shopping, I just have a look at the bottom. I know, can tell from the bottom whether it's going to have plastic or not. So a bit of a detective cooking stuff for you. Okay, then what else have we got here? Oh yeah, chickpeas, one of my all-time favorite things. I love canned chickpeas. They're so useful and delicious. Then I usually have some canned beans, so butter beans are a favourite in the house, and cannellini are another. You know, red kidney beans can be good, if black bean, and adzuki beans, soybeans, you can get all sorts of beans in tins. Canned lentils, I know they can be difficult for some people to source, but they're quite easy here in Australia, and they're actually something that's really delicious and easy to use. Canned fish. So, you know, this is a personal preference thing. I always have some tuna. I use a brand that packs their tuna with chili in the can because I find that's just got a really lovely flavor profile. But, you know, it's up to you if you like canned fish, you know, go your hardest. Salmon, sardines, you know, it's all stuff that can be really convenient. Canned chicken. In Australia, you can get smoked chicken in a can, which is actually quite tasty, although it's packed in Thailand, so I haven't been buying it that much lately, but it is an option if you want to explore. It's not very expensive. I guess that's another reason I kind of, if it's not expensive, I kind of worry about the chicken, where it came from. And lastly on my canned things list is coconut milk or coconut cream, which I think is awesome, such an awesome ingredient, and, you know, particularly great if you want to keep, you know, the dairy in your diet to a minimum. So then we'll move on to jars. And what have we got here? Oh, so curry pastes. So Thai curry paste, the ones you can get in the supermarket these days are so awesome. I hardly ever think to make my own curry paste unless I'm teaching a class on cooking Thai food. But usually, you know, I'll have either red or green or sometimes a massaman or a yellow curry paste. And you can also get some pretty good Indian curry paste. So that's something else to think of. Tomato pasta sauce, that can be, you know, something that you can swap in and out with canned tomatoes, but, you know, can have a different flavor profile and can be quite useful. And also it comes in jars, so you don't have to worry about the canned thing. Tahini, so that's sesame seed paste, which you use in hummus, but it's also really awesome for making a sauce. Just mix it with a little bit of water and some lemon juice and possibly some garlic if you feel like it. So I love my tahini. In jars, vegetables. So it's probably something you may not think to include, but you can actually get, like, in the kind of deli section these days, you can get like grilled red peppers or piquillo peppers and grilled eggplant. So that's something that I have in the pantry from time to time, and it can be really interesting. And we've got a couple of recipes using them, and it's, I mean, not obviously not as good for you as eating fresh veg, but it's better than kind of no veg at all. So I think as far as pantry items go, it's good to have as a backup. Pesto, all-time favorite, so or you know what to do with that. And actually, if you're someone who likes to make your own pesto, you know, keeping pesto in the freezer in small blocks, that can be just as good as having it in a jar in the pantry. I've got Vegemite here on my list, so obviously not for anyone, but, you know, if you're Australian, it is really a good thing to have. Peanut butter, and that's, you know, a personal preference thing. I think it's an awesome ingredient to have. My Irishman loves having it on toast every Saturday, so he actually buys his peanut butter mail order or over the internet that he gets all the way from New Zealand. So just a suggestion there. And then I have either honey or, if you prefer, maple syrup. So, you know, just a good kind of natural sweetener. Then moving on to sauces and condiments. So mustard, I'm a big fan of mustard. So I usually have both Dijon and whole grain mustard in the house, but, you know, it's really up to you. And soy sauce, which is super versatile. It's one of my favorite seasoning ingredients because it adds saltiness, but it also adds, you know, what the Japanese call umami, which, you know, is the fifth taste sensation. And it's kind of that savoriness, that really, you know, wonderful, like, complex flavor. And soy sauce has that packed in boatloads, so it's an awesome thing to have. Mayonnaise is something that I often keep in the pantry as well. It's, you know, it'll, once you open it, you need to pop it in the fridge, but it can be very handy. Ketchup, or for us Aussies, we call it tomato sauce. I think that's an awesome ingredient to have on hand and really great for making kind of an instant baked beans recipe. Oh, and then there's also like kind of Asian-y sauces. So I tend at the very minimum to have some fish sauce and oyster sauce, which are both great for stir fries and seasoning. But if you're not into cooking Asian food that much, you don't really need it. Okay, then moving on to seasonings. So salt. So I usually have two salts. I have a cheaper sea salt that I just get from the supermarket that's fine grain that I use for if I want to, if I'm cooking pasta and I want to put a lot of salt in the water. I'll use my cheaper salt for that. And then I have some usually Maldon sea salt flakes, but there are a few different Australian producers that I use from time to time. So they're like, I really like having like those kind of crystally flake salt flakes, because I think the flavor in them can be really pure and really lovely. And I just love the texture as well, and it's fun to sprinkle on things. So that's what I do with this salt. And then in terms of black pepper, just buy the best quality peppercorns you can afford. And, you know, I think it's freshly ground black pepper always out. It's way more delicious than anything pre-ground, because the aromatics and the volatile compounds, you lose them in pre-ground pepper. So much better to have. It's worthwhile investing in a pepper grinder if you like your pepper. Then, but you probably need me to tell you that. So then moving on to spices, and yeah, really it's up to you and what you like. But I'd kind of suggest to think about things like dried chili, either flakes or chili powder, because that's super useful for just adding a little heat to most dishes. A good curry powder is great to have. And then some of my favorites are ground cumin, ground coriander, garam masala, which is an Indian spice blend, and smoked paprika, which is a Spanish spice. And it's awesome to just add some kind of color and smokiness to for everyone. So then we'll move on to baking. And of course, this isn't for everyone. If you're not a baker at all, you'll know that and you can just skip. So if you are a baker though, it's good to have some flour in the house. So usually I have some plain flour, some bread flour. And these days, sometimes some rice flour, but these days I'm using coconut flour more. And I also use almond meal as a flour these days as well, in an effort to eat less grains. Sugar, of course, if you're into baking, so either white, I usually have some white sugar, some brown sugar, and these days I've been using Natvia, which is a brand name for a natural sweetener that's made from a mixture of stevia and erythritol, I think is how you pronounce it, and I've been having some good success with baking with that, but yeah, you probably, it's very expensive, so sugar can do just as good. And then other types of baking goods, so things like cocoa powder is really handy, and baking powder, and then dried yeast, which is awesome if you want to make bread or pizza dough. And then my last thing on my baking list is I always have some chocolate in the house, so usually at least 70% cocoa solids. So good quality chocolate, and that tends to work as a snack as well, sometimes after dinner if you just feel like something sweet. Then moving on to dry goods, we've got lentils. So you'll notice I'm a big fan of lentils. So I always have some pui lentils, or they're also known as French style green lentils, which are awesome lentils. They're like kind of the Rolls Royce of the lentil world. And the reason being they've got an awesome flavor, but they also, lentils can be, they can cook down and go mushy quite easily, but pui lentils like to hold their shape. So they're not very, it's difficult to overcook them, whereas other lentils, it can be very easy. And then my other favorite lentils are red lentils, and they've got a really clean flavor and they're small and they cook really quickly. So they're awesome to have in your repertoire as well. But yeah, it's a whole world of green and brown lentils out there that you can explore. And they're packed with protein and not very expensive. So I think, you know, people should eat more lentils. I sound like a hippie. and then I also, you know, having some dried beans, you know, white navy beans, cannellini beans, whatever you like, I think that can be good. And then I've kind of grouped these together. So pasta, noodles, couscous, basmati rice. So, you know, if you don't mind going for a bit of carbs, they can be good to have in the house. And another favorite of mine is quinoa, or you might know it as quinoa, it looks like when you spell it. And it's actually not a grain technically, but it looks like a grain, and it's super high in protein. I think it's actually even slightly higher in protein than lentils, and low GI. So it's, you know, and it's just really yummy, and it has awesome texture, and it looks really pretty too. So if you haven't ever got into cooking quinoa, I really recommend seeking some out and having a look at. There's a quinoa recipe in our pantry recipes, so giving that a go. And then I'm a big fan of nuts, so I always have a few different types of nuts in the house, but not usually all at one time. So almonds, definitely. Pine nuts, expensive, but love them. Hazelnuts, walnuts, Brazil nuts, and cashews. So it's really up to you. Probably suggest only having, you know, a couple of types of nuts in the house at the one time, but it's really, you know, if you're into your nuts like I am, you can go nuts with it. pardon the pun there. And then moving on to things that are in the fridge. And when you think of your pantry, I really consider my fridge to be part of the pantry because there's heaps of things that will last for months in there. And that's just as good to me as anything from the pantry shelf. So things that I really think about in terms of a pantry fridge items, so cheese, parmesan, love it. It lasts for years. King of cheeses, and really couldn't get by without it. Then ricotta. If you buy a ricotta in tubs, it can have, you know, a few months shelf life on it. And goat's cheese is another one that when it's all packaged up, just look at the use by date and you'll know how long it's going to keep for. But you know, a lot of, and halloumi and feta, those kind of salty things, they tend to last for months in the fridge, so it can be good to have on hand. Other dairy, so butter, another thing that lasts for ages. Milk can be not really a pantry ingredient, but it could be if you get UHT milk. And then yogurt's another one that lasts for ages in the fridge. So those good bacteria, keeping it preserved. The other fridge things I think about are a tofu, which when it's sealed in a packet, it'll have a shelf life of a few months as well. And the final thing there is miso paste, which is awesome for, of course, making miso soup and Japanese-style dishes, but it's also kind of something if you're interested in playing around with slightly different ways of getting umami into different dishes. And then last, we've got the freezer. So again, something that people don't really think of as part of their pantry, but you know, stuff will last for years in there, so why not use it as part of your pantry? So frozen vegetables, and this is an awesome way to get kind of, you know, greens and to be able to have a pantry meal that you know, can come out of your pantry supplies but actually have some kind of fresh feel to it. And nutritionally, you know, veggies from the freezer can actually be just as good, if not better, than like if you're getting veggies that are tired and old. The freezing is a good process for preserving nutrients. There's not many things that are actually damaged by low temperatures, so you can kind of feel good about eating it. The other thing I think of in my freezer, so fruit usually has a box of berries, so raspberries, blueberries, mixed berries, I mix that up a bit. Also often have bread in the freezer, so you know, when I go to Sydney, by my favourite sourdough, either Iggy's or Burke Street Bakery, and then when I get home, thing with bread, slice it up and then freeze it, so then you can just grab out a slice and pop it in the toaster and it's good to go. The other things I sometimes think about is puff pastry, and commercial puff pastries these days can be pretty good. So if you're into baking pies and stuff and you're not don't care about the gluten, then that can be a great thing. So that's, it took a while actually. So it's quite a, you know, just to give you an overview and a few ideas of things to include in your pantry, but really, you know, it's up to you, and don't go out and feel like you need to buy a lot of any of these things or a lot of these things. I'd rather you focus on your two pantry recipes and getting the ingredients for those and trying them out rather than kind of, you know, faffing around and stressing about. And so also spending a lot of money. Stuff can be expensive when you buy it all at once. So maybe just think about buying, you know, one or two items every week for the next 6 months if you like. But it's really up to you. And I think the most important thing is just to buy stuff that you think you're going to use. Okay, so moving on, we've got 13 ways to help your pantry come to the rescue. So without some sort of pantry backup, life can be much harder than it needs to be. The thing is, having some sort of pantry doesn't need to be difficult or scary or require some sort of superhuman organization. So here are 13 ways to make it easier for your pantry to help you out. So help your pantry. So tip number one is to automate your shopping list. So pantry is only as helpful as the ingredients it stocks. By developing the habit of having an ongoing list for pantry and other household items, you'll find that you automatically replenish pantry stock on a regular basis. And actually, just a word on shopping lists. I actually have an app for my phone, a shopping list app. Didn't pay very much money for it, but I love it. Like, it just, every time when I run out of something, I just put it on, like, just do it on my shopping list on my phone. And then when I go shopping, I, you know, go through the checkout, and it's awesome. So, but if you've got a shopping list system that you're happy with, just stick to that, of course. So tip number two is to organize your pantry into similar items. We've already talked about this, so I'm not suggesting you alphabetize your spices like my friend Jane's mom used to, but having some sort of structure or order to your pantry can make a massive difference. If like items are grouped together, it can save you time trying to find what you need, and you'll also be able to tell at a glance which types of items you're getting low on when you're heading out to the shops. Then tip number three is avoid the trap of deep shelves. You know when you're deciding what to wear and it feels like you have nothing suitable, and then you look in your wardrobe and find heaps of things you've forgotten about. It's the same with food and pantries. Don't rely on your memory. Use your eye. Oh, hang on. I've messed that up. So avoid the trap of deep shelves. There's a saying, out of sight, out of mind for a reason. If you're ever lucky enough to be designing a pantry, make sure your shelves aren't too deep so you have maximum visibility. If a complete pantry redesign isn't possible, consider investing in a few boxes so you can easily slide them out and have full view of the content. So kind of like make makeshift drawers, because that can make a massive difference to the visibility in your pantry and how much you'll use things. Then tip number four, develop the habit of actually looking in your pantry on a regular basis. So you know when you're deciding what to wear and it feels like you have nothing suitable, and then you look in your wardrobe and find heaps of things you'd forgotten about. It's the same with food and pantries. So don't rely on your memory. Use your eyes and you'll find the possibilities opening up. So it's all about having a look. And then tip number five, when shopping, choose some long shelf life vegetables. That's kind of something I think of. So I've had celery and cabbages that have lasted up to a month in my fridge. So I make sure that making sure some of your veg will last into the next week or longer takes the pressure off getting the amount of food that you buy exactly right. And it also means that you know you're going to have some veg in the fridge no matter what happens. So love my cabbage. So continuing on, so tip number six, develop the habit of looking in your fridge and freezer on a regular basis. And this is an extension of the pantry tip. There can be a whole world of options in both locations, but you need to know about them to take advantage of them. I'm guilty of only opening the freezer when I want to get something out, and I'm always surprised what's in there. So just make a mental note that you need to, you know, be looking in your fridge and freezer on a more regular basis. Tip number seven, explore the options for stocking your fridge pantry. So don't fall into the trap of thinking a pantry is only about the store-cupboard ingredients stored at room temperature. The marvel of modern refrigeration makes pantry staples out of many different foods. Think cheeses, especially halloumi, yogurt, tofu, yogurt, other dairy products, eggs, smoked fish, salami, and other cured meats. And tip number eight, find a butcher who will cryovac for you. So meat will keep for a month in the fridge, ready to use when it's vacuum packed or cryovac'd. We've started buying our meat direct from a local farmer, and he packs everything in cryovac. So some goes in the freezer, but most of it I just leave in the fridge until I need it. It's completely revolutionized the way that I shop for and use meat, and it's awesome, organic. Love, he's just a lovely man as well. So, but I've also sometimes when I'm in Sydney, I've got a favorite butcher there, and I'll get him when I buy things from them. I'll actually ask them, can they cryovac it for me, and they can do it on the spot. And then, you know, you just take it home and it'll last for, you know, a few weeks instead of, you know, a few days, which makes a massive difference. Then tip number nine is to rotate the produce in your fridge on a regular basis. So let's face it, things can easily hide in the back of the fridge and get forgotten. I have a large and smaller space in my veggie drawer. Since I adopted the policy of transferring all the older veg to the smaller drawer before putting new purchases away and remembering to look in the small drawer first, I've made a massive difference to the amount of veg I throw away. So it's just really that whole front of mind thing. Then moving on to tip number 10, freeze in small, easily accessible packages. So for now, remember, taking the time to divide food into small packs before freezing makes it quicker and easier to defrost as you need. And I've actually used to think that, you know, it was always too much hassle to label my things in my freezer, but I've had things that have gone, you know, what is this, and completely lost the track on it. And I've actually found the secret to getting motivated to label your freezer things. And all it is just having a pen in the kitchen that's easily accessible. So since my Irishman actually, he did it. He was getting organized and he just put his pen in the cutlery drawer. And then ever since then, I've known that the pen's been there and it hasn't seemed like such a big effort because I haven't had to go searching for a pen. And I've just started writing on stuff and it's made my freezer much better. So there's a little freezer story for you. Then tip number 11 is to explore the world of frozen fruit and vegetables. So frozen produce can be just as good, and in the case of frozen peas, even better than fresh produce from the supermarket. Think beyond frozen peas and berries, though. There's soybeans, which are also known as edamame. Broad beans can be great. Mango, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, all can be wonderful from the freezer. Then step number 12, have a spring clean from time to time. A clean pantry can be a thing of joy. It's also helpful to identify what you're using to stop repeat purchase, what you aren't using so you stop buying things that you don't use or to inspire you. And then finally, tip number 13 is to have a use up your pantry project every now and again. And I find this is a good thing just to, if you're feeling a bit broke and you want to save money, that can be a good thing. Often I'll do this before going on a trip. So we're going away to Ireland in the next month. So apart from doing this course and having food around for that, I've actually had a mental note that I wanted to start using up the things in the freezer and the pantry and kind of getting them to low stocks, A, to save money for the trip, but also so, you know, we're not leaving a heap of food in the house while we're away. Okay, then moving on to the final section, and that's the four most common pantry mistakes and how to avoid them. So the first mistake is running out of essential ingredients. So I've said it before, a pantry is only useful if it contains actual ingredients you can use for actual dishes or recipes you love to cook and eat. Think about your shopping habits. Decide on the best frequency for you to have a dedicated pantry shop. It could be once a month where you write a list and do a big stock up, or it might be something you do once a week. Another solution is to decide whether it would be helpful for you to have a list that you create as you go near the pantry or fridge. I don't, but my mum used to live by her list, so there was always something stuck, a notepad stuck on the fridge, and if we were running out of something, everyone would just write on there, and it worked really well. So this mistake number two is suffering from pantry chaos. So an overflowing pantry with things stuffed willy-nilly can be just as useless as an empty pantry and a lot more daunting. Chaos is also unlikely to inspire you when you're feeling tired and hungry. Think about it. Isn't the thought of a chaotic pantry enough to make you want to avoid your scary pantry altogether and just pick up the phone and order some delivery? Overcoming pantry chaos isn't as difficult as you'd think. Develop some sort of order to your pantry that works for you. I find, as I mentioned earlier, I find keeping like ingredients together helps. And also throwing things out makes a big difference. Then mistake number three, letting items go past their use by date. Even long-living items eventually go bad, but the good news is this is really easy to avoid. When putting your shopping away, just remember to rotate. Add newly purchased items to the back of the stack or row and push the existing stuff to the front so that you'll use it first. Too easy. Then mistake number four is allowing infestation to strike. So this used to be a big problem for me when I was living in Sydney. Between the cockroaches and Indian meal moths, there was a lot of waste in my pantry. That was until I invested in a set of glass canisters from IKEA that looked great and weren't very expensive. I can't recommend this enough. Get a system for sealing open packets, preferably glass canisters, but use Ziploc bags. Open packets are an invitation for insects and moths. So, what next? Hi there, it's Jules. I really hope you've got some value out of this training, and I just wanted to have a few words. So basically, one of the things I've been learning recently is that insight without action is useless, and it's pretty much the same as having no insight at all. So really encourage you to take action from this video. So first, if you're up for it, you can hop on over and have a look at the video tour of my pantry, fridge and freezer, which might give you some ideas of ways you can improve your own setup. But the most important thing I want you to do is to, below this video, have a look through the pantry recipes. It's quite a big collection of them there, and choose your two favorites,
have a look at them, read them, watch a video, and then write a shopping list so you've got those ingredients in the house. And next time you come home and it's late and you want to cook, you don't feel like cooking, just say to yourself, no, I'm going to try one of my pantry recipes, and just see how you go with that. And I'd love to hear, I'd love to meet you and also hear how you're getting on with your pantry. So leave a comment underneath this video, or if you want on at the very bottom, or if you want to, you know, on a particular recipe, if you've really enjoyed it, leave a comment there. If you haven't already, I really encourage you to sign up to Gravatar.com. So it's a free service, and Gravatar stands for Global Avatar. And if you sign up with them, then you're and put a photo up with them, then your photo will actually get linked to your comments, so we'll be able to see your smiling face. So it'd be awesome if you do that. Of course, if you've already done it, it'll already be there. So if you just Google Gravatar, you'll be able to find it. And that is it. So yeah, look forward to seeing you. And up next, we've got your 10 ingredient shopping list.